Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to a very special Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. No, we're actually here today. We didn't record this because we both went on vacation. And yes, we're aware of things that are going on in the headlines, like Mitt Romney being blamed for a cancer death 7 years after he left Bain Capital. But today we are taking a break from the reaction that we normally do to the twists and turns in the headlines to discuss our good pick, bad pick, and crazy pick that Mitt Romney could make for his running mate. And that decision could be coming in the next few days once the Olympics are over. He's got this big bus tour coming up. Most certainly it'll come before the Republican convention starts, which is now less than 3 weeks away. So the time for rampant speculation is on, and Jim and I are more than happy to add our 2 cents in here. So, Jim, as we embark on this process, we should point out that all of our choices probably have good points, bad points, and crazy points, some more than others in each of those categories. But let's start at the good point, like we normally do with our martinis, and where you came up on top there with a good martini.
Just a couple prefacing, a couple thoughts. One is that we have to do this to get this in. It seems like the Veep speculation has kicked into a higher gear. I'd be very surprised if Romney did it before the Olympics ended. And in fact, I'm not really sure there's that much of an advantage to doing it any sooner than you need to. I would say actually do this close to the convention to build up suspense. This certainly eats up a certain amount of the airtime and all that kind of stuff. As for who Mitt Romney should pick, now, you know, I probably mentioned in some previous edition of the Three Martini Lunch, my 5 favorite people in politics today are Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, Pennsylvania Senator Pat Toomey, Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Now, of those guys, it seems like Bobby Jindal is getting the most serious consideration. I think he is a phenomenal governor. I think he has a record in Louisiana that he can put up against anybody else in the country. This is a genuine turnaround of a state that was in certainly as bad a shape as the country is in right now. So if we are looking at a ticket to turn America around, I think Romney Jindal is the way to do it. When I hear people talking about his drawbacks, I generally think they're kind of stupid. People will say he's short. Well, big deal. You know, he gave a bad speech in 2009. Some ninny said that he, you know, said he's not all American enough. And I just want to like smack somebody around when I hear something like that.
Right.
You know, of those other guys, Rubio and Christie are some of my favorite folks. I think they both indicated in past interviews they don't feel like they're ready. Toomey also just elected in 2010. McDonald just elected in 2009. So Jindal seems like the guy who I can see plugging into that ticket. He's very effective on the stump. He's got a great case argument to make against the Obama administration when he talks about how the administration mishandled the Deepwater Horizon spill. So it doesn't take much to get me singing the praises of Bobby Jindal. The most upside and the least downside, but I'm open to other suggestions, Greg.
Absolutely. You forgot the criticism that he talks fast.
Play the tape slower then. That doesn't seem like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely right. I remember after you had gone down there and chronicled his romp to reelection not that long ago that we were talking about the presidential race, and you said, you want the best person for the job, but since Bobby Jindal's not running, we have to look elsewhere. And So he's done a great job, especially considering the conditions he came in following Katrina, really brought that state back. He's passed massive reforms. You can look that up online. Jim has chronicled the Jindal record very, very well, both online and in print. So I like the pick. I didn't have it at the top of my list, but I would be more than happy to have Bobby Jindal on the ticket. The two names that I've been kicking around, going back and forth between, are Paul Ryan and Bob McDonnell, who you mentioned. McDonnell, I think, was not necessarily at the forefront of my thinking anyway. But now that Virginia looks to be perhaps where this race could be decided, I think he's getting a lot more consideration. The one thing that may be a drawback there is the drawback that the Democrats in the Washington Post in particular tried to make in his governor's race. And that's the thesis that he wrote in law school, where he talked about the roles of men and women and families and so forth. And given the way that the Obama campaign is going after Mitt Romney as anti-woman, I'm not sure he's going to want to go in that direction. But we'll see about that. Bob McDonnell will be a great addition to the ticket. Paul Ryan, I think, is my number one choice and has been throughout this process, even though Paul Ryan probably doesn't want it, likes where he is, wants to be speaker at some point if he can. But this election is going to be about the economy, and no one articulates the stark choices between the two parties better than Paul Ryan has done over the last few years. And for that reason, I think he'd make mincemeat of Joe Biden. Not that that will necessarily decide the election, but he is able to put some pretty complex ideas into very understandable language, and that can only help.
two more good picks, Greg, and I think I'd kind of, I'll naturally transition to our bad martini.
Okay.
Of this field of possible running mates for Mitt Romney, there are a lot of folks where you can see, I don't know if there's anyone who's totally 100% head and shoulders above everyone else. They're all pretty darn good with some sort of glaring weakness or issue you have to deal with. And you hit on them in your categories that, look, I think I'd be perfectly comfortable with a Vice President Bob McDonnell. And Cree Deeds and the Washington Post couldn't beat McDonnell when talking about his thesis back in 2009. But the Obama campaign is accusing Mitt Romney of murder. I mean, we know, well, I guess we know how this is going to be. So if you pick a guy like McDonnell, then you got to be ready for it right out of the gate and be ready to counterattack and make provide the counter argument and all those things. Picking, you know, Paul Ryan, I, again, really like the guy. Picking Paul Ryan means the national debate of 2012 gets to deal a lot with entitlement reform. And that is difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think that may be a more difficult fight than making the election a referendum on Obama, and I think that's probably not the direction Romney wants to go in. Now, some of us and some art conservatives would probably argue that the pressing nature of the entitlement crisis and our spending crisis and our debt crisis means we should make the election referendum on this, that we should build a mandate for these kind of tough changes. The Obama campaign would demagogue the living you-know-what out of that, and it just seems like a potentially risky strategy. Which is not to say, you know, Paul Ryan wouldn't be a great pick. It just shows that he'd probably do the job very well, but that causes problems. Just looking at some of the other names that get mentioned, Rob Portman, boy, you know, the sexy charisma of competence certainly sounds good after 3.5 years of President Obama. But if you pick him, you're going to deal with 3 more months of back to the policies of George W. Bush. And again, it gets you off the topic of what has Obama done and don't we need to change direction? Tim Pawlenty is a guy who every time I interact with him personally, he seems like a very warm, pleasant guy. I don't understand why he is this, you know, vanilla ice cream, mashed potatoes on white bread reputation that he has. But if you pick, you know, Tim Pawlenty, you need to persuade America that he's not as boring as the reputation suggests. So when I say bad, every one of these guys has something that will be quickly be glommed onto by the Obama campaign and the mainstream media. And perhaps I repeat myself when I say that. And it just becomes this thing where I hope the Romney campaign is ready for whoever they pick and ready to push back against these things. It doesn't mean you don't pick any of them. It just means, you know, well, you have to be ready from moment one to parry and counter and, you know, win the message war on this.
Yeah, I picked Tim Pawlenty for martini number two here. There's a lot to like. I have a libertarian friend from Minnesota who actually likes Tim Pawlenty, so I think he passes most of the conservative tests. But notwithstanding your interactions with him, Jim, he kind of comes across as not as assertive as you might like, especially when the VP role is kind of an attack dog type thing, when you don't want to get your presidential nominee involved in some of the back and forth in that area. It's just hard for me to see Tim Pawlenty going toe-to-toe in that type of environment. I could be wrong on that. If he is the nominee, I'm not going to have a huge problem with it, but I'm just not sure that he's the most effective pick there. And of course, I'm not sure that Minnesota is in any likelihood of going to the Republicans this year. So electorally, I'm not sure that he makes a lot of sense either. So
I've seen him go to Florida and talk about the need for Social Security reform. I've seen him go to Wall Street and talk about if the era of bailouts must end. He went to Iowa and talked about the need to end ethanol subsidies. Pretty bold things.
Yeah.
It's as if every time Pawlenty stops speaking and he says something that is not boring, the guys from Men in Black come out with their little neuralizers, the things that make people forget, and say they flash the entire audience and say, you will remember none of this. You'll have a very vague, generic feeling towards Tim Pawlenty. He will not stir. Like you'd think from those stances, he would at least be like hated. You know,
right.
People would feel very strongly about his reforms. Tim Pawlenty can't even get people to dislike him. He may need to ratchet up his memorability if he is indeed the running mate. And there's quite a few folks who seem to think that he's a very strong contender for the slot here.
All right. We've done the good. We've done the bad, relatively speaking. Most of these folks we would be fine with, but some certainly present a better option for Romney than others. All right, Jim, crazy.
I think 3 of the names that have been tossed around a bit do count as crazy. And again, not a matter of not liking these people. But we've seen little boomlets or mentions for Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, a guy who turned down running for president and is now head of president of Purdue and who doesn't seem interested at all. And the 2 mentioned by Drudge, Condi Rice and David Petraeus, 2 first-class people. I don't know that Condi Rice is interested in being president. She seems to be very vehement in her disinterest. David Petraeus has a day job, the CIA director. In today's Morning Jolt, I tried to think through how it would even work that the Romney campaign trying to vet the personal background of the CIA director. I imagine that information is kind of hard to get a hand on, Greg. You know, that I'm picturing some CIA personal security official dealing with the Romney vetters, and they talk about how they're not going to talk to each other and provide any information to each other. I mean, Petraeus is a very impressive guy, the guy who turned around Iraq, the guy who got, you know, was a strong leader in Afghanistan, universally respected. Again, no indication he's ever had any interest in being president of the United States. So whether he'd ever want to be vice president is unclear. I think the fact that people who are pretty clear that they don't want to do this get mentioned and get, you know, a great deal of attention strikes me as something kind of crazy about this process.
I think the very brief Condi Rice fervor was a little bit crazy. As you mentioned, she's never expressed any interest in it. And of course, we've talked about some of the reasons why that could be a drawback in terms of her position on abortion and somehow some folks would tie her so closely to the Bush administration. My crazy pick is a little bit different because it's not as crazy and outlandish as some of those, but just the crazy element he could bring to the campaign, and that's one that you mentioned on your list of five, and that's Chris Christie. He's so good at dissecting an issue and just getting straight to the point. And even when he comes off as bombastic, which he often does, he does it in a very intelligent way, which doesn't insult people and so forth. He just is very blunt and very intelligent about it. But the idea of having Chris Christie out there every day with the media also presents the opportunity that he could say something that would make the very tightly buttoned up Romney campaign shudder on a daily basis if he's as unvarnished as he normally is. So while I love Chris Christie, I'm not sure that's a personality match that is made in heaven.
Precisely. Greg, I completely agree with that because I think he's a very – obviously there's a lot to like there. And if you feel like the Romney campaign needs to counterpunch – Chris Christie is exactly the attack dog you'd kind of like to see doing this. And you might just see, you know, the idea of Christie versus Biden just causes, you know, squeals of glee amongst most Republicans. I think the biggest challenge there, Greg, is can you imagine the day Vice President Christie disagrees with President Romney?
Right.
How much do you see him saying, yes, sir, I agree, sir. I'll go out and endorse the policy that I disagree with, sir. I think, and, you know, Christie's very open about this, that he is not a guy who is a natural second fiddle or supporting role. And it's very easy to imagine that at some point causing tension. And I just don't see a future Romney administration being a team of rivals, as Obama allegedly assembled and you know, echoing the claim made about Abraham Lincoln's cabinet. You're starting to get the feeling that maybe a team of teammates might be a good idea for an administration, having seen how a team of rival works and you end up with little competing fiefdoms and rivalries and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of work to do, assuming they get elected. So the more everybody's on the same page, the better. So a lot of different ideas out there. I'm pretty optimistic that we're going to like the pick, but we'll find out in a number of days. Jim, fun to do the special, and we'll be back to regular fare tomorrow.
Absolutely, Greg. Looking forward to it. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.